VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk on VCY America. I sometimes wonder how the prophet Jeremiah felt as he saw all this evil and corruption around him and called upon the people to turn, to repent, and to come to God. I mean, we are seeing so much happening in our society, and it's going so quickly today. And friends, the answer is Jesus Christ. And certainly it's critically important for the message of the gospel to be going forth in times like this. But the times are evil, the times are wicked, and just like prophets of old called out against them, so we also, as a watchman, call out against the things that we see taking place and warn regarding where we are at as a society. But it's not just a warning to turn away from, it's turning to. And so the message that overrides this program, this network, this station, is that of turning to Jesus Christ in times like these. We're called upon to be both light and to be salt. Both of those have important roles and responsibilities, and so we take that command very, very seriously. Well, friends, we're going to begin with a news roundup here today on Crosstalk and understand the times are very tough, very challenging, and are getting worse here across this land, and that's why we say our only hope indeed is the Lord Jesus. Keeping you informed on critical issues to be understanding of the times, we do refer you, first of all, to a story that is dominating news nationwide. This one I have is from CBS News, but federal law enforcement officials arrested a 21-year-old Massachusetts man allegedly connected to the disclosure of dozens of secret documents that revealed sensitive U.S. defense and intelligence information. That's a statement from Attorney General Merrick Garland yesterday. In brief remarks at the Department of Justice headquarters, Garland identified the individual as Jack Teixeira, an airman in the Massachusetts Air National Guard, and said he was arrested in connection with an investigation into alleged unauthorized removal, retention, and transmission of classified national defense information. The New York Times reported that Teixeira is a member of the Guard's 102nd Intelligence Wing. Pentagon records show that he entered the Air National Guard September of 2019, worked as a cyber transport systems journeyman. In general, the position's responsible for supporting network infrastructure and making sure that the communications network used by the Air Force is operating properly, according to a defense official. Teixeira's arrest came hours after a story in the Washington Post detailed a small online community on the platform Discord, where the documents appeared to have been first shared by the group's leader over the course of several months. Earlier reporting by Bellingcat traced the documents' supposed path from the server known as Thug Shaker Central to larger Discord community. The Post said that the person who first shared the documents, known to fellow members as OG, worked on a military base, and saying that this person, not motivated by politics or ideology, did not intend for these documents to be shared outside the Discord community. Folks, what do you think? When you're posting it out there, why would you not think that these things are going to travel? The dozens of documents reviewed by CBS News contain details about the war in Ukraine, including information about anticipated Russian airstrikes on specific targets and other Russian war plans. The records offer an unprecedented glimpse into U.S. efforts to support the Ukrainian government, as well as to the extent to which U.S. intelligence agencies have penetrated Russian communication channels to the benefit of Ukrainian forces. The documents also showed the U.S. keeping close tabs on allies. One showed conversations between Ukrainian President Zelensky and his top military officials. Another relayed concerns about South Korea's leaders about sending ammunition to Ukraine. A third said leaders of Israel's intelligence agency advocated for intelligence officials and Israeli citizens to protest against divisive judicial reforms by the government. I mean, these documents go on and on and on. Photos appear to show documents similar to format to those to provide daily updates to our senior leaders on Ukraine and Russia-related operations. Asked Monday if the threat to national security has been contained, the National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby said, "We don't know. We truly don't know." A 21-year-old Massachusetts man we reportedly having the top clearances possible. Some are asking, how is that possible? But truly a betrayal of our nation. FoxNews.com reporting that Egyptian president has hatched a plan with his top aides to produce and ship up to 40,000 rockets to Russia, which has depleted its supply of ammunition during the 13-month invasion of Ukraine, according to leaked U.S. intelligence documents obtained by The Washington Post. The leaking of documents. It's amazing to see what is going on. Who's paying the highest price for all of these things? American Military News is reporting the U.S. has confirmed there's a small U.S. military presence deployed in Ukraine after leaked documents indicated several Western countries had special forces units on the ground amid Russia's invasion. National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby told Fox News Wednesday that U.S. troops were in Ukraine but are not fighting on the battlefield. This came after a leaked top-secret document indicating that there were 14 U.S. Special Force units in Ukraine, as well as 50 from the U.K., 33 from other NATO member countries. Coming to us from the National Pulse, Ukrainian authorities in Kyiv have embezzled $400 million last year, at least, of U.S. taxpayer money, according to veteran American journalist Seymour Hersh. The money, according to Hersh and his sources, has been used to buy luxury cars and fund ostentatious lifestyles. According to Hersh, U.S. cash has also been spent buying discount diesel from Russia itself, effectively helping fuel both sides of the conflict. Hersh was the one that came forth about the Nord Stream pipeline, that it was the U.S. that had bombed it, and now coming out with these allegations about Zelensky and his generals embezzling at least $400 million of the U.S. aid. CBN News is reporting a key leader in Israel's defense ministry has been in Washington seeking help to bolster Israel defenses against a potential attack from Iran. The ministry director, General Eyal Zamir, said that we held important meetings to promote significant projects focused on force buildup in the face of emergency security challenges, first and foremost, the Iranian nuclear program. Zamir met with Pentagon officials less than a month after Israel took rocket fire from Lebanon, Syria, and the Gaza Strip. Pamela Geller states that in an unexpected turn after an extended meeting with Chinese President Xi, French President Macron states that Europe must reduce its dependency on the U.S. and is looking to establish autonomy from the U.S. and to become a third superpower. Chinese leader Xi had one important message for his guest. That would be French President Emmanuel Macron, and that is not to allow Europe to be drawn into the American game. With ongoing military escalations in Taiwan, it appears Xi is ensuring neutrality from Europe before he moves into Taiwan, which Biden claims that the U.S. would defend with military force. The Washington Stand reports Chinese fighters and warships deployed all around Taiwan over the weekend during a three-day war game dubbed Operation Joint Sword. The People's Liberation Army and People's Liberation Army Navy deployed this to the north, southeast, and west of the independent island nation only hours after Macron left Chinese airspace. China Central Television, a media outlet controlled by the Chinese Communist Party, proclaimed that the drills had simulated joint precision strikes against key targets on Taiwan Island and surrounding waters. The Taiwanese Defense Ministry said it detected some 11 Chinese warships, 70 aircraft early Sunday morning, with 35 aircraft entering Taiwanese airspace. That's the Washington Stand. Folks, things are percolating all over this world. LifeSiteNews.com is reporting since the outbreak of the war in Yemen in 2015, Saudi Arabia has been fighting Yemeni rebels in a war for control of the oil and gas producing nation. On Good Friday, April 7th, the Saudis announced that they would end the war with Yemen, which is widely interpreted as a result of a meeting in Beijing the previous day between Saudi and Iranian diplomats. In a further blow to U.S. influence in the Middle East, this is seen as a result of Chinese efforts, Communist China's efforts to normalize relationships between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Folks, do you see the coalition taking place? Again, the Great Reset is underway. The U.S. does not have a part in this, but a Chinese dominance certainly does. TheNewAmerican.com is reporting that April 24th, Sweden is poised to begin its largest military drills in over 30 years. These military exercises, labeled Aurora 23, will be the last 3 weeks, will be lasting 3 weeks and involve around 26,000 personnel from 14 countries: Sweden, the U.S., the U.K., Finland, Poland, Norway, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Ukraine, Denmark, Austria, Germany, and France. The number of participants would exceed the entire active Swedish military force. Plans to raise the Swedish Armed Forces' combined ability to meet an armed attack on Sweden and contribute to stability in the region together with others. The Daily Caller reporting President Joe Biden's latest northern deal, border deal with Canadian President Justin Trudeau, has a major loophole that allows for some illegal migrants to skirt expulsion, according to the Internal Department of Homeland Security memo exclusively obtained by the Daily Caller News Foundation. This is very interesting, folks. We know what's going on at the southern border, but the northern border has recently seen a spike in illegal immigration, with the Swanton's sector agents in New York, New Hampshire, and Vermont recording an 846% increase in arrests. From Freight Waves, President Joe Biden signed legislation Monday to end the U.S. Emergency National Response to COVID-19. We've heard that this week earlier. However, they're not sure how this impacts truck drivers from Canada. You see, truck drivers who've not received the shot cannot enter the U.S. from Canada as of this point. That the prohibition went into effect January of 2022. The Canadian Trucking Alliance said that the mandate has barred thousands of unvaccinated truck drivers in Canada from entering the United States. Canada ended its border vaccine requirement in October 3, but as of yet has not been lifted for Canadian truck drivers coming into the U.S. From FoxNews.com, a federal appeals court in New Orleans has partially overturned a lower court's decision blocking access to the abortion drug. The new decision keeps the drug mifepristone available for purchase to consumers with some restrictions. The 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled 2-1 Wednesday just before midnight to keep the drug available, only to be dispensed up to 7 weeks, not 10, and not by mail. The case may now head to the U.S. Supreme Court. Matter of fact, the Daily Caller is saying that the Department of Justice is asking the Supreme Court to intervene in this Texas abortion pill case. Attorney General Garland said yesterday that the DOJ strongly disagrees with the Fifth Circuit's decision in Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine versus the FDA. Will be seeking emergency relief from the Supreme Court to defend the FDA's scientific judgment and protect Americans' access to safe and effective reproductive care. Oh, friends, when there's a fatality that happens, would you call it safe? You see, when one is successful using this drug that they're defending, there is always a fatality, and sometimes two fatalities. We're going to be taking a break here on Crosstalk, coming back with more stories on our Friday News Roundup today. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to Crosstalk coming your way from the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does evolution ever go backwards or reverse itself?
Chris, I don't think evolution occurs at all. God created each basic category of life. They may have varied, but this is not evolution. For evolution, you have to have new genes, new traits, new body parts, not just variety of the old. Sometimes evolutionists claim that evolution reverses itself and goes backwards. For instance, some are now claiming that the chimps, which are basically tree dwellers, descended from a missing link which walked upright, therefore backwards evolution. Chris, I think this is just as wrong as evolution in general is wrong. The evidence supports the biblical truth that man and apes are separate. There's variety among both, but they did not have a common ancestor. And that's just what we read when we go back to Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
This is Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America. We're just talking about the abortion pill, and it's likely this heading up to the United States Supreme Court, like, very quickly. There's a coalition of some 19 states has filed a legal brief urging to keep the block in place on this dangerous abortion pill that kills unborn babies and injures women. This is being led by the Mississippi Attorney General Lynn Fitch and a number of other states, attorneys general from Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, and Wyoming have all joined in with General Fitch on this brief to try and continue the block on this deadly, deadly abortion pill. Well, Newsmax is reporting a growing number of states led by Democratic governors are now stockpiling doses of drugs used in the medication abortions amid fears that the federal court is going to restrict access. Massachusetts has purchased enough doses of the drug, mifepristone, one of the two drugs used in combination to end pregnancies, to last for more than a year. California has secured an emergency stockpile of up to 2 million pills of misoprostol, the other drug used in abortion medication. And in Washington state, the governor there, Inslee, announced last week that his state purchased 30,000 doses of the generic version of mifepristone, which he said is enough to last the state's residents for 3 years. Abortion is still legal and accessible here in California, and we won't stand by as fundamental freedoms are stripped away, Newsom said Friday, as we kill our babies. That's my extra editorial comment there. The Vice President Kamala Harris compared killing babies and abortions with abortion pills to just getting chemotherapy to fight cancer. That's what she refers. These abortion pills are just like chemotherapy to fight cancer. She said that, stopping these drugs, it invalidates the scientific independent judgment of the FDA. LifeNews.com reporting that Governor Newsom was recently forced to backtrack his threat to revoke a contract with Walgreens because the pharmacy chain refused to sell abortion drugs in pro-life states. If he had followed through, well, they learned that the health care needs of some 15 million low-income Californians would have been affected, according to Live Action News. His actions, by the way, may also have violated federal law. The Washington Stand reporting public schools would teach children as young as 12 about abortion as part of the middle and high school sex education curriculum, give them a list of abortion businesses, and inculcate an attitude of inclusivity and support in conversations surrounding abortion if this bill passes the California legislature. It's one of 17 new pro-abortion-related bills that they have introduced to enhance the state's self-identity as an abortion sanctuary. Additional bills would allow abortionists to break the law in other states with impunity to create a taxpayer-funded awareness campaign that critics believe would malign pro-life pregnancy resource centers and expand publicly funded abortion on demand for minors without parental consent. Mary Rose Short, the director of California Right to Life, told the Washington Stand that if students made it to college, it's even easier to get an abortion. She said California law mandates that state universities provide abortions on campus as a staple of student life. Forget about the failing schools and academics. No, we kill babies here. LifeNews.com, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a bill to ban abortions on unborn babies with beating hearts, reports the story. We understand, though, exceptions would be allowed for rape, incest, and cases where the mother's life is at risk or to avert serious risk of substantial and irreversible physical impairment. I'm just wondering how broadly that interpretation will be for it. LifeNews.com reporting a radical pro-abortion bill proposed by Maine Governor Janet Mills would allow unborn babies to be killed in abortions for any reason up to birth. Unlicensed abortionists would not face penalties anymore either. If it passes, anyone potentially could abort or help abort an unborn baby without fear of prosecution, including abusers. Despite how radical it is, the bill already has 76 co-sponsors, meaning it likely will pass, according to the Associated Press. Daily Signal telling us that the Attorney General of Florida, together with the Religious Liberty Legal Group, is suing Jane's Revenge for targeting and attacking pro-life pregnancy resource centers. If you use violence to injure or intimidate pregnancy care centers across the country, you will be held accountable, says Jeremy Diss, the special counsel for litigation communications at First Liberty. The suit is seeking $170,000 in penalties against each defendant who stands accused of vandalizing three Florida pregnancy resource centers. Hitting another issue, this from FoxNews.com, a truck carrying toxic soil out of East Palestine, Ohio, where a train carrying hazardous materials, that derailed this past February. Well, this past Monday afternoon, this truck overturned carrying these toxic chemicals. Also in Ohio, the state patrol there said the commercial vehicle hauling some 40,000 pounds of contaminated soil along Route 165 near Waterford Road, where it crashed, overturned, and nearly half of the contents spilled out onto the roadway. The driver cited for operating without reasonable control, and a local fire department responded to the scene, as well as the Ohio Environmental Protection Agency, who assured residents there is no threat to public health. Isn't that what they were told in East Palestine as well? FoxNews.com reporting former President Trump is suing his ex-lawyer Michael Cohen for more than $500 million, alleging a breach of his attorney-client relationship, unjust enrichment, and more. Trump's legal team filed the more than 30-page federal lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of Florida on Wednesday. Western Journal telling us that Manhattan VA Alvin Bragg is facing an uphill battle in his attempt to charge former President Trump with any number of campaign finance violations. Despite the successful arraignment of Trump last week, Bragg has a number of issues he'll have to address to prove that the 34 felony charges launched against the former president are actually legitimate. First, there's the non-insignificant matter of the Federal Election Commission and Department of Justice already decided that there wasn't a case worth pursuing against former President Trump. Second, and perhaps more disconcertingly for Bragg, is a trio of GOP representatives, Jim Jordan, James Comer, and Brian Stile of Wisconsin, have been demanding transparency answers from Bragg's office. In response, Bragg's office sent a rather antagonistic letter to the three, telling them to back off and calm down. The GOP responded to that letter from Bragg's office with a threat of a subpoena, and Bragg's response to the GOP was then to take legal action against them, filing a lawsuit specifically against Jordan on Tuesday, seeking both a temporary restraining order as well as an order to show cause. Well, in a letter obtained by SDNY blog Judge Mary K. Viscosil, dashed those hopes of Bragg outright, denying both the restraining order and the show cause order. There may be some other things that Mr. Bragg should be worried about in New York. CNSNews.com reporting there were 7 murders, 33 rapes, and 497 felony assaults in New York City last week. That's according to data published by the New York Police Department. From just the news, in the aftermath of President Trump's historic indictment, House Republicans are putting the finishing touches on legislation that would restrict state and local prosecutors from prosecuting current or former presidents by allowing such cases to be moved to federal court. Jim Jordan said the lead legislation spearheaded by fellow committee member Representative Russell Fry would give America's chief executives a venue change option. There's a second bill from Andy Biggs of Arizona that would prohibit prosecutors from using federal asset forfeiture funds to investigate presidents, something that the Manhattan prosecutors who secured the indictment of Trump do admit doing. The Daily Signal telling us that the Biden White House reportedly played a role in the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago based on government emails obtained by the America First Legal. It's a conservative government watchdog group. They joined the obtained the information through the Freedom of Information Act request to the National Archives and Records Administration on Monday, followed with additional records requests. Yeah, somehow tying back to Joe Biden's authorization for that raid to take place. The Daily Wire telling us the House Oversight Committee has reportedly issued subpoenas to several banks to get the financial records of some of the Biden family associates. The subpoenas come as part of the Republican investigation into the business dealings of President Joe Biden's family and associates. Just the News includes this information that Wisconsin's GOP Senator Ron Johnson says the financial institution Cathay Bank has given Senate Republican records showing millions of dollars going from Chinese companies to President Biden's son, Hunter. Johnson told the Washington Times that the records show the Biden family involved with the now defunct CEFC China Energy, which had a connection to the Chinese Communist Party. Daily Mail is reporting that embattled with San Francisco Senator Dianne Feinstein has announced that she plans to temporarily relinquish her duties on a top committee to another Democrat after two of her fellow party members demanded that she resign. She's 89 years old. She revealed that she's going to step aside from the Senate Judiciary Committee until she's fully recovered from shingles. Two Democratic congressmen took issue to social media to call for her to quit. You see, they've not been able to pass the judicial picks from President Biden. They haven't had enough votes. She said, when I first was diagnosed with shingles, I expected to return by the end of March work period. Unfortunately, my return to Washington has been delayed due to continued complications related to my diagnosis. I intend to return as soon as possible once my medical team advises that it's safe for me to travel. Democrats have had only 51 voting members in the Senate, and with the absence of another state senator, recently elected Representative John Fetterman, Feinstein's vote is particularly pivotal. Fetterman, who was hospitalized for clinical depression, is expected to return to the Senate next week, nearly 2 months after taking his own leave. They've not been able to pass through an agenda as of yet with these two senators on the sidelines. Judicial nominations have been held up in committee because Senator Feinstein has been absent from the committee, and a tie vote does not advance the nominee. Breitbart is reporting American taxpayers are likely to subsidize billions of dollars in Affordable Care Act benefits for illegal aliens enrolled in the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, DACA, under a plan by President Biden. Yesterday, President Biden announced a plan to open the Affordable Care Act, commonly known as Obamacare, and Medicaid rolls to hundreds of thousands of DACA illegal aliens. We understand the cost to American taxpayers is about $4,600 per illegal alien. From WND.com, Canada has moved on several issues to an extreme, such as assisted suicide, transgenderism, and speech limits. Now it's apparently trying to make a point in the move to make drugs legal, and that would be hard drugs, and even make them available for children. A report from New Punch has revealed that Justin Trudeau has announced plans to legalize hard drugs for children, including heroin and crack cocaine, as part of a new radical policy aimed at destigmatizing drug addiction. Okay, here's a story from the NewAmerican.com. A federal appeals court ordered Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear to pay over $270,000 in legal fees for three people who sued him after he threatened them with prosecution for attending church during the early months of the COVID-19 pandemic. On Monday, the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals upheld a district court's decision awarding over $272,000 in attorney fees to the plaintiffs. They had attended the 2020 Easter service at Maryville Baptist Church 2 days after their governor issued a press release warning that state police would be recording the license plate numbers of any vehicle seen at the church service, after which the owners would be required to self-quarantine for 14 days, forbidden to leave either the country or the state, make that the county or the state. Failure to comply constituted a misdemeanor violation of the emergency orders issued by the governor and the Department of Health. Well, the three were among those receiving the citations, but rather than acquiescing to Beshear's unconstitutional dictates, since he had publicly targeted churches while allowing supermarkets and liquor stores to remain open, they took him to court, and now, ladies and gentlemen, they have won. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
How much do you know about the end of the world? Have you heard of worldwide pandemics, weapons of mass destruction, threats from Russia and Asia, clamor for globalization, hand implants for commerce and security, violent persecution? What about intensifying wickedness? All of this is predicted in the book of Revelation. In the book, The 50 Final Events in World History, author Robert Morgan simplifies what many have found complex, providing a comprehensive yet easy-to-understand overview of the book of Revelation, which translates the events of Revelation both literally and sequentially. Walk step-by-step through the prophetic events yet to unfold. The 50 Final Events in World History is available from VCY for a donation of $18 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
so much happening in so short a time, and friends, it's going to continue to compound upon us. Scripture says, know this also, in the last days perilous times will come, and gives us a list of those issues that we just see them unfold before our very eyes today. And this is why we started Crosstalk today, again, with the need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus, even in these turbulent times. Yes, we're understanding of the times in which we live, and it really ought to heighten the urgency of our heart to pour out our heart to God, to stay with Him in prayer, to commit these matters before Him, to be salt, to be light, to spread the good news of the gospel. Yeah, things in this world are coming to a boiling point, and they're going very, very quickly. Certainly, as we understand what's happening in our world, it cannot lead us to a life of lethargy and apathy as to these things. But it should burden us even greater for greater prayer for this nation, greater activism as believers in Christ to be active in sharing the gospel with others as time is short. Daily Torch is reporting, as we continue on, a few more stories in our news roundup today. Acute shortages of orally delivered amoxicillin, penicillin, and other children's antibiotics throughout the 2022 and 23 cold and flu seasons have made it difficult for doctors to treat normal childhood illnesses like ear infections and bronchitis, strep throat, and things like RSV. Also sickle cell disease. For months, they've had these hindrances. Food and Drug Administration issued a warning about the amoxicillin shortage in October 22, just at the start of the cold and flu season. But since then, no statement has come from the president, what appears to be an underreported public health crisis. No, instead, we have to talk about abortion being a public health crisis. We have to talk about so-called global climate change as being a public health crisis. There's only a few companies in the world that make penicillin used to make all other antibiotics, and three of them, folks, are in communist China. Another is in Austria. And yet the U.S. only has one authorized manufacturer of amoxicillin in the entire country left. Just one. U.S. Antibiotics, based in Bristol, Tennessee, founded in 1978, which was going bankrupt in 2020 before being bought out by Jackson Healthcare. But folks, we're dependent upon other nations, even for our health care in this nation, for simple medications that have a great impact. Communist China being among them. Shouldn't this be a wake-up call for our nation? But no, we're more concerned about advancing an agenda of taking innocent life in the womb. We're more concerned about control of the populace. We're so more concerned about advancing a transgender agenda. Children's Health Defense reporting the U.S. government approved its first three payments to people injured by COVID-19 vaccines, accounting to a total of $4,634.89. Health and Resources Service Administration vaccine injury claims report updated monthly shows just over $2,000 payment for anaphylaxis and two payments of just over $1,500 and over $1,000 for myocarditis. Payments were made through HRSA's Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program. Do you think that's really going to care for these individuals? From LifeSiteNews.com, a gender-confused man reportedly stabbed a taxi driver to death in Portland on Easter Sunday. Moses Jacob Lopez, a man who portrays himself as a woman, has been charged with murder and unlawful use of a weapon for allegedly killing a radio cab driver in southeast Portland, according to the Portland Police Bureau. The transgender crime and violence is just off the charts, folks, and your national media is not picking up on it at all. From LifeSiteNews.com, female athletes in Australia are being repeatedly injured due to biological males being permitted on their teams. Some reports, as of yet unconfirmed, indicate that at least one player was hospitalized for her injuries. This understandably has brought about a backlash from angry parents as well as players who are pointing out that this is not only unfair, but it's dangerous. And the response of the Football Australia is to offer them re-education training in order to help them understand the lived experiences of players identifying as transgender. The Daily Mail says angry parents fed up with the trans woman's domination of a female soccer league will be offered training to help them better understand trans issues.
Football Australia's press release announced that the re-education will be a priority in order to make soccer the most multicultural, diverse, and inclusive sport in Australia, and to provide training that will provide the Australian football community with a greater understanding of the lived experiences of LGBTQI plus communities and their participation in sport. Don't worry about the injuries. We just need to re-educate you. Family Policy Alliance announcing that North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum signed two bills that ensure that female sports competitions, and are reserved just for females from kindergarten through college. They are the 20th state with Save Girls Sports legal protections. LifeSiteNews.com telling us that the Kansas lawmakers have formally overridden a veto by Democrat Governor Laura Kelly of legislation to ban gender-confused individuals from participating in sex-specific athletic teams that conflict with their actual sex, ensuring that the law will now take effect. LifeSiteNews.com also taking us to New Mexico. In response to life-saving legislation in Republican-led states, New Mexico's far-left Democratic Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham on April 5th signed a new law codifying legal protections to kill babies in the womb and perform mutilating transgender surgeries. Out Memphis, this is from the Memphis Flyer, indicates that Nike, along with Out Memphis, will host a queer youth field day Saturday, April 22nd, noon to 4. Public is invited to this free event. According to a volunteer coordinator and community manager for Out Memphis, Nike approached the organization back in 2018 in hopes of hosting a recreational event field day for queer youth and allies, where people would not be divided into boys and girls teams, and with everything being gender neutral and inclusive. Just a safe and affirming day for people to come out and enjoy the weather together. This event is open to any LGBTQ plus youth and allies aged 13 to 25. They're hosting the event in loving solidarity. Nike, folks, they're just off the charts on this. Even a gender-confused individual spokesman. Riley, this is coming to us from Red State. Riley Gaines, a former NCAA swimmer, has made headlines for using her voice to push back on men competing in women's sports, and that led to a group of militant transgender activists violently assaulting her and holding her hostage. Folks, you wouldn't believe this. You watch the video of this, and my wife had the same reaction I had. It sounds like the people of Sodom knocking at Lot's door. Bring them people out here. Gaines is a 12-time All-American and entered the spotlight over the last year after being one of the few in her sport with the courage to publicly object to the domination of one now going by the name of Leah Thomas on the women's swimming team, Thomas, a biological man. While he was at the University of Pennsylvania, Thomas's teammates suffered oppression and humiliation, being made to share a locker room with a man who would reportedly walk around without clothing. Instead of listening to the concerns of the actual women on the swimming team, the university forced them into sensitivity training and threatened them. UPenn then nominated Thomas for the NCAA Women of the Year. Gaines was appearing at the SFSU to give a speech as part of her tour promoting safe spaces for women in sports. Unfortunately, things reportedly got violent. According to her husband, she was assaulted by a man in a dress. Things apparently were so bad, police could not fully remove her from the situation. Instead, had to barricade her in a room for 3 hours. LifeSiteNews.com reporting one of the largest, most radically pro-LGBT school districts in America is indoctrinating children into LGBT ideology as early as age 4 without parental consent or even their knowledge. This is Montgomery County Public Schools, located in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., announced in an email March 23rd that parents can no longer opt their children out of pro-LGBT books and lessons. The district has more than 160,000 students and will not even notify parents before exposing children to transgenderism and homosexuality, according to the email. Folks, knowing this, why would any parent keep their children in Montgomery County Public Schools? The Daily Signal tells us a State Department initiative offers $5 million in taxpayer funds to be divided among qualifying LGBT organizations around the world. Folks, this is your tax dollars at work. The State Department's $25 million Global Equality Fund invited projects led or supported by LGBT organizations and communities to apply by March 1st to win awards between $750,000 and $1.5 million and allocating a total of $5 million among 3 to 6 awardees, a State Department spokesperson told the Daily Signal. By the way, I'm sure you heard the news that Chicago is going to be hosting the Democratic National Committee Presidential Nominating Convention. And, by the way, speaking of Chicago, Walmart has announced the closure of 4 Chicago stores. The simple explanation is from Walmart.com that collectively our Chicago stores have not been profitable since we opened the first one nearly 17 years ago. These stores are losing tens of millions of dollars a year, and their annual losses nearly doubled in just the last 5 years. Folks, you know about the crime, the mayhem, the looting that's going on in Chicago? Townhall.com reports that Chicago Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson told CBS News Thursday, his plan to tackle the city's crime problem is to send more social workers to the crime scenes. He's a staunch progressive, pointed to instances where police killed black men as evidence to say more police officers are not the solution. We're working to double the amount of young people we hire, not just for summer jobs, but for year-round positions. We've been pushing this ordinance called Treatment Not Trauma. In essence, first responders, social workers, counselors, EMTs, these individuals would show up to calls that require those types of interventions. Johnson said at least 40% of the 911 calls in the city deal with mental health crises. San Francisco also falling apart so very quickly. Daily Wire reporting a Whole Foods location downtown San Francisco reportedly closed this week over high crime, unsafe conditions for employees. Republican presidential primary debate is coming up, going to be held in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, this coming August. That's ahead of the national convention here. Tim Scott has announced an exploratory committee for a presidential bid. He's looking at putting his hat in the ring for the 2024 race. And folks, I don't know if you heard, but this from Breitbart, an estimated 18,000 milking cows were killed. One person left critically injured after an explosion ripped through a Texas dairy farm on Monday. Authorities have yet to determine the cause of the blast. Oh, there is so much that's taking place here, friends. Oh, and also digital currency. Monetary Authority has launched an international central bank digital currency. They're calling it Unicoin. Unicoin. We've had so many programs talking about this and warning about this. But, friends, I'm looking at the clock. Though I have more stories, I'd like to open our phone lines to give you opportunity to comment on this or other current event stories. Our number today to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Does it sound like we're falling apart? You know, we are. We're falling apart morally, spiritually, certainly economically, politically, in every way. Your reaction to these stories here today are, again, our number 800-733-9829. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back to your phone calls here on Crosstalk. And I see all the lines ringing away here, so we'll pick up your calls right after this break. You're listening to Crosstalk coming your way from VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Today, I interviewed for my national radio show Dr. Rob Linstead, who's been to Israel over 70 times leading tours. I also had with me author and pastor and seminary president Dr. Andy Woods. He also has been to Israel many times. Both of them have been watching and studying Israel in the Middle East for years. And one thing they agreed on today, among others, was never before have they ever seen Israel surrounded by so many enemies wanting to wipe her off the face of the earth? And not just any enemies. The very nations, the Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 38, will come together in a great coalition to invade Israel. And it's lining up like we've never seen in world history. This is where we as Christians can take what's happening in the news and realize it's not doom and gloom. It's the fulfillment of Bible prophecy. God is in control. Fear not.
Troubling times indeed. And again, friends, keep your eyes on the Lord through these times, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Let's be ambassadors of truth. Let's go to the phone lines. Many people on hold right now. We're going to begin in Lawrence, Michigan. Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm just like, isn't everybody just getting worn down? With just, every day, it's just like this line in the sand just keeps getting, you know, pushed forward and mm-hmm. forward, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Is there anything, like, besides prayer, obviously, is there no hope?
There is always hope, and that's found in Christ, and that's the only way we're going to see. We talk about these tough times in which we live. It takes a heart change, Mike, and for people to come to faith in Jesus Christ, because that's when one becomes a new creation, and that really is the need for us to be both salt and light in that regard. But man left to his own ways, we're seeing that. The heart's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? So it really is that changed life that gives a changed mind.
I agree, but I mean, there's smart people that aren't Christians, and
oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Common sense is gone,
mm-hmm.
like completely gone.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. When we have moms holding newborn babies dancing to a transgender a drag queen, you're right. Common sense is completely gone. Thank you for the call, Josh in Waukesha, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. So thanks for having me on. I'm just curious because you mentioned now there's this dairy farm that somehow an unknown explosion. And if you keep watching some of these things, there's chicken farms and these train derailments and all these things going on all around America. And you look at the pictures and it's just like a square, perfect square block that got burnt out. And these just seem like telltale potential either terrorist attacks or sabotage or underground acts of some kind. Is there anybody investigating what is going on with all of these? I mean, they're attacking our egg farms, our food supply, everything. It's amazing and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, and we've been reporting even food processing plants that have gone up in flames, or two separate times airplanes going into a food processing plant. Our food supply certainly under attack, and what's even planned for mRNA material to be in our food supply as well should raise our eyebrows as well.
Very scary. Thanks for having my call.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to Julie next, Pensacola, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to make a comment about the young boy that was arrested for leaking information. I don't trust what's going on in the news. I don't trust them at all. And you know, if you remember right, the DOJ, the District of Justice, Department of Justice, and then the FBI, they're both corrupt. We all know that now. And that's all been exposed. Who is reporting about this boy that's leaking information? They are. I don't trust them. I don't trust Biden. They're all full of corruption. And it just makes me wonder, if they're going to continue using innocent people. You know, they used the people from the J6. You know, they weren't attacking. There were many people that are very innocent, yet they're in prison. And so I just want to kind of like give an insight on the other side of the story before everything comes out in the open. And I hope it does. I hope the Lord will just expose the truth.
Thank you, Julie.
Because I don't believe what's going on right now. He's innocent.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's go next to Will in Burlington. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just want to touch on the Nike Bud Light thing. Is as Christians, you know, we're to count the cost against the world, and I believe firmly that we should boycott companies like Bud Light, Nike, etc., and, you know, support fellow friends or whatnot in that endeavor, in that marketplace. And then secondly, I want to touch on Revelation and just know that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, as you have said.
Hello?
Klaus, Bill Gates.
Okay, we got a bad cell zone that you're in. Thank you for the call here today. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, but on the alcohol issue, I just say just stay away from it completely. Alan is next, Fort Dodge, Iowa. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, what I was calling about, I had one particular thought, but there's another one that strikes me as well. First was you mentioned the new currencies are coming out with, the cryptocurrency. When this first was mentioned, I said to my wife, you know, how many times have you heard in the news about people who had a fortune in cryptocurrency and then lost track of their access number, their account? To make the way I see the government going, this puts us more a step toward people having the ID chip in their hand or forehead or, you know.
Yeah.
And so that drives us closer to that. But then, oh, gosh, the I'm sorry. I lost my other thought. Old age is getting to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, this Unicoin, this new global currency launched the Universal Monetary Unit. They're calling it the Unicoin. An international central bank digital currency has been designed to work in conjunction with all existing national currencies and really ought to set off alarm bells for us.
Yeah, it does for me.
Thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Sure thing. Alice in Arkansas, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I want to talk about the abortions. The Bible said, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Years ago, in a makeshift hospital, a man lay in a bed and yelled out, get them off of me, get them off of me. The nurse came in and said, like, get what off of you? There's nothing on you. And that man said, all these dead babies, they are smothering me. I've mentioned it before, but isn't it true today? The Bible also says, iniquity will abound. Evil seducers shall wax worse and worse. We are living in Bible times. Gary Kahn mentioned again at the rally, if 70%, that was years ago, 70% call themselves Christians would be real Christians, we wouldn't be in this mess. Oh, that America would really examine themselves before the Lord and make sure.
Indeed. And sorry, Alice, I'm out of time. I have to move on. Our closing music is playing. Friends, you know, we see all the havoc that's going on across our nation around the world. But we have cursed God. We've turned our back on God. We thumbed our nose at God. And what do we think? You know, we're going to reap what we sow, indeed. And what do we think? How is God going to bless this nation when we turn our back on him? God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today and all this week on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.